ते वासुदेवाय।
So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 12. We're in verse number 20 today. Bhavanatari sammayam vaya Vaisnavam jnana mohinim Yad vihaya suram bhavam Mahapurushatam gathaha. So word for word synonyms. Bhavan, your good self, Atarashit, has surmounted Mayam, the illusionary energy, Vai, indeed, Vaishnavam, of Lord Vishnu, Janamohinim, which deludes the masses of people, yet since vihaya, giving up asuram of the demons, bhavam, the mentality, mahapurushatam, the position of an exalted devotee, gataha, obtained. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You have surmounted the illusionary energy of Lord Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Let's try to repeat the translation. You have surmounted the illusionary energy of Lord Vishnu, and because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Purport. Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Mahapurushaya. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu, whereas a demon is just the opposite. Vishnu bhakta smito deva asura stat viparaya yaha. Vitrasur was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee. O Mahapurushaya, if one somehow becomes the Supreme Lord's devotee, whatever his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible. How? If an unalloyed devotee delivers him in this way and thus tries to serve the Lord. Therefore, Sikadeva Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, Kirata Huna Andaras Pulandar Pulakasa Abhira Subha Yavana Kasa Dhaya Yenecha Papayad Aparayaha Shreya Sudha Yanti Tasmat Prabha Vaishnava Namaha. Kiratas, Hunas, Andras, Pulindas, Pulakasas, Abhiras, Subhasas, Yavanas, and members of the Kasas, races, and even others addicted to the sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. For He is the supreme power. I beg to offer my obeisances. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character accordingly to the pure devotee's directions. Then even if one is a Kirata, Andara, Pulandi, or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a Mahapurushaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammai Ham Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavanamascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanamascha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasthyatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before we start, we'd like to ask the blessings of all the devotees so that we may speak something to glorify the Srimad Bhagavatam and for our own purification. This week actually has been a very wonderful week again. And this time we've been celebrating the glories of the devotees of the Lord. We had Brahmananda Prabhu's Thirubhav. I think yesterday was His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami's celebration. And today is Kurma Rupa Prabhu. So a lot of opportunity to remember what is the greatness and the value of association with such exalted devotees of the Lord. To get Krishna is very rare. But more rare than that is to get the association of Krishna's devotees. Because in that association, everything we need to go back to Godhead is given. All the tools, all the skills, and more than anything else, all the mercy. All the mercy we need is going to come from the Vaishnava. From the first day we heard about Krishna, our Vatma Pradaksha Guru, that person who has given us the first glimpse into genuine relationship, Sambandha Gyan with Krishna. From that person to us taking the step of initiation or moving into the temple. And then as we moving along in Krishna consciousness, every step of the way, there's somebody there. And then at that final moment also, there's Tulsi, there's some devotee will be there. Even may not be physically to us, but somebody will be there to help us transcend, make that transition from the material world to the spiritual world. So every step of the way, devotees are there. And we see in today's verse, we're hearing over the past few days, we've been hearing Vitrasur's realization of this very intense moment in life when death is about to come. And today, over the past 2 days, yesterday and today, we're hearing the realization of Indra himself having heard this transcendental knowledge on the battlefield. A strange place, but the reality of life that it is a battlefield. And every moment we are being challenged by death or by the choices of either Krishna or the material energy. And we've been hearing two things that Indra was glorifying. In yesterday's verse we heard two things. We heard the discrimination of Vitrasur and the endurance of Vitrasur. Two things. And two things that really set the high-level devotee above the rest. We don't usually want to classify devotees like that, but in today's verse, we're trying to appreciate the exaltedness of the Uttama Bhagavat, the great exalted devotee of the Lord. And he has many features, she has many features that makes her distinct. But these two in particular, the distinction, discrimination and the endurance. No matter what comes, Krishna is the goal. Krishna will guide me. Krishna will direct me. So as we're hearing this then, I'd like to propose a question to you. Is the pure devotee an idealistic term or a realistic term? Is the pure devotee an ideal that only some or very few can reach? Or is it realistic that every one of us has this opportunity to become one, to develop into one? And in today's verse, we're seeing it gives us a sense of hope. Because we see Indra glorifying Vitrasur and saying, well, you were demoniac and now you have changed. What has changed? Nothing physical. Nothing physical. What has changed is the consciousness. And this is where the heart and the work of Krishna consciousness needs to be focused. If what is substantial in our practice, what is the thing that really counts is our consciousness. And this is we seeing gives us a sense of hope, a what is called a panacea, a sense of hope that yes, it is realistic and I can also achieve it. And in today's verse, the secret of all secrets is given. Rahasyam, guhyam, the greatest secret of all secrets that the Bhagavatam holds is being given today. So let's try to see that, how this has come about. What is it we can learn? In trying to understand this level of consciousness, actually we're using our senses, our faculty of intelligence, of discrimination, in order to understand what is the great devotee. And using these material tools, we could make a mistake. Because our intelligence is only as evolved as our knowledge is. If we have that level of knowledge or understanding, realization, that is how much our intelligence can help us. Therefore, the great devotees, the Uttama Bhagavats, are not very easily recognizable. So how do we recognize? Firstly, we learn from Shastra how to recognize them. So the description is given in Nectar of Instruction, verses 5 and 6. Give some idea, so you can have some idea of the symptoms of somebody as exalted as this what we're hearing today. Firstly, we hear in Nectar of Instruction that Krishna consciousness is based on the mental attitude of the practitioner. That means it is a state of mind. What is the state of your mind when you are practicing? What is the state? In order to evaluate Krishna consciousness, if we're going to do that, we first start with the mind. What is our mental disposition? Do we have the Vaikuntha mentality? Do we have the Goloka mentality? And what is that mentality? Because if we don't know what that is, we could be cultivating something else and thinking it's the real thing. We could be cultivating something which may not be the genuine thing. Therefore, we have to hear it from the Shastra. In verse 6 of Nectar of Instruction gives a very beautiful description of what we can observe about the pure devotee. Firstly, it's described that the pure devotee's body is like the Ganga. Although in the Ganga we see many dead bodies flowing. Jai Radhesham Krishna Balaram Gornitai Ki Jai. We see many dirty things, stool, dead bodies, many dirty things. But the body of the pure devotee is described as pure. His body is pure. It's not contaminated by the nature of the environment. So firstly, if we're going to observe something and we're going to use our senses, we could make a mistake if we're looking for something which we have within our mind, because we may not see the purity. Prabhupada gives two guidelines in this verse 6 of how to observe this. Firstly, he gives that the pure devotee is a superior devotee, is higher by his spiritual development in Krishna consciousness. He is higher by his spiritual practice. His practice is what gives him away. His practice is what gives us a glimpse of what is his mental disposition. Secondly, by their activities, by the way he's doing it, his consciousness. So he'll be always absorbed in Krishna's seva, and his consciousness will be very refined, very distinguished. He's wanting to offer the best to Krishna. So in trying to understand this, there's a beautiful verse that comes in the Brihat Bhagavatam Rita. It's 2.7.1.24, and it describes this kind of consciousness. So Sanatana Goswami describes, anything that breaks religious principles is sin in the material world. Anything that goes against, disobedient to religious or dharma, religious principles, is sin. But for the pure devotee, what's that? For the pure devotee, anything that contradicts devotional service, that becomes sin. So can you see his level? Anything that contradicts devotional service, not just religiosity. So the pure devotee is teaching us to develop a certain mental disposition, that of anusilanam. An act of instruction is a very practical text to bring this out. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma navritam anukulyana krishnanusilanam. Krishnanusilanam, that Krishna consciousness is a cultivation. It is a practice. It is a cultivation. It has to be cultivated. That means it has to be practiced. We also have to become the living Bhagavatam. And this opportunity is given. Otherwise, why is this text, one of the six questions that the sages of the starting of the Bhagavatam ask, is what is the scripture for this age? One of the six questions they asked, and the answer was given, Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is it about Srimad Bhagavatam then? Because it's not only giving stories, it is a conflation, a mixture of philosophy and story. It's a combination of both. And this is unique also about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it's not just a biographical text of Lord Chaitanya. There are many biographies of Lord Chaitanya. It's described there are about 27 biographies, different devotees that have written. But what is unique about Chaitanya Charitamrita is that it is a philosophical biography. It's giving teachings there. That means it's an opportunity to change. If one applies it to one's life, one has an opportunity to change. Another amazing verse, Prabhupada quotes this in Bhagavatam 1.9.24. He says, the only desire of a pure devotee, the only desire a pure devotee entertains is to be wrapped in the attention to the lotus feet of the Lord regardless. And we're hearing that in Vitrasur today. We're hearing that in Indra's glorification. That no matter what has come to you, his two hands get chopped off. He's got nothing left, but still he wants to fight. He uses his mouth to dig up the earth, and his top jaw reaches the upper sky, and still he doesn't give up. Takes 1 year to cut his neck off. Can you imagine? So, Prabhupada is saying here, regardless. Regardless of whatever comes. And this is a very high level of consciousness. Asisyava pararatam pinastumam adarshana mamahata karotuva. That to be absorbed, even though the Lord handles roughly by His embrace. To be absorbed, even though the Lord makes me broken-hearted by not appearing before. This is the consciousness of this great devotee that we're hearing about. Once, many years ago, it's actually the first time I came to Vrindavan in 98. And we were doing parikram as we were going down to Keshi Ghat. And it was very different from the way it is now. And it was new to me. I didn't know the culture of Vrindavan. And one thing I really didn't expect to know is about the monkeys. And I think it's everybody gets caught with this, right? This is probably my 10th pair of glasses. So everybody gets caught out with the monkeys. And as we're walking down, we came up near Keshi Ghat. I was with another friend. And one of the devotees from here was with us also. And there was a Babaji. One Baba was sitting and doing his bhajan, kartals. He was singing. And as he looked at us, he was singing and he just kept on looking. And then he said, chasma, chasma. And I said, what is he saying? What is he saying? And he says, well, I didn't understand. What is he saying? And then the devotee translated and said, your glasses. I said, yeah, what's wrong with them? They're here. They're okay. He says, no. Be careful. The monkeys grab your glasses here. I said, what? Why do they do that? And he says, yeah, this is what they do here. They pull off your glasses. And I said, wow, that's very interesting. Why do they do that? So I asked the devotee, why do they do that? Why do they grab the glasses? So he says, let's go and ask the Babaji. So as we walked to him, so he asked him in Hindi, Baba, why? Why do they grab the glasses? And he looked at us and he said in Hindi back, which he translated, that you can't see Krishna through this. And when we're looking in Vrindavan, we're looking to see with this. I'm sure I'll see him. I'll see him there. I'll see him. But you can't see Krishna through this. And then he quoted, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. He says, if you want to see Krishna, if you want to really see Krishna, it has to be, your eyes have to be anointed with love. Premanjana. That eye can see Krishna, not this chasma. And that was the first really powerful experience I had of a great devotee who I considered a great personality. And I said, wow, look at how he's thinking. And he says, the monkeys are also thinking like that. They're reminding you. Don't come to Vrindavan and look with your chasma. You'll not see Krishna. So it was a very powerful experience for me. Prabhupada goes on in the translation here. He translates. This is Indra speaking. You have surmounted the illusionary energy of Lord Vishnu. And because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. So to surmount something means to transcend it. You've gone over. You've moved over to the other level of understanding. So it's transcending matter and material conditions. You are able to transcend both matter and material conditions that keep us bound. And this is the demoniac idea. The demoniac consciousness is what? One, it is external. And two, it is one who does not take shelter of Krishna. Now it's interesting that Indra noticed this. He's telling Vitrasur, you have transcended this, which is a demoniac nature, which is one, which is what? You have taken shelter of Krishna and you have moved beyond matter. Now, speaking philosophy is one thing, but has Indra realized it himself? It's very easy to speak philosophy, right? But to have realized it, to live the Bhagavatam, to live the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, that is a very different concept. And this is what the Uttama Adhikari is doing. He's the living Bhagavatam. He doesn't have to think of practicing it. He is living it. We have to think of practicing. We have to think of anusilanam. We are practicing. But for the pure devotee, he is living it. He is consciously living it. Prabhupada says here in the purport, Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. We know this term comes also in Purusha Sukta. In the Purusha Sukta, Lord Vishnu is described as Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of a Mahapurushaya. This position was attained by Parikshit Maharaj. We know Parikshit Maharaj, his consciousness was so evolved that he was Pariksha. He was examining everything. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He was looking in every place, everyone he met. Is this Krishna? Is this the person that came in the womb and saved me? So he was constantly examining. So for the pure devotee, he is experiencing life on the level of transcendence. And for him to relate to us, he has to first take that experience and convert it into a concept. From the concept, he has to speak it in words. Now, if you're living something, first of all, it is an experience to you. Then you have to think of, if I'm going to speak this to someone, I will have to put it in a concept that they can relate to. And then speak it out in words. So for us, we are doing the opposite. We are reading Shastra. We are taking the words first. Then we are developing a concept about it. And from the concept, we are praying with a full heart, sincerely, that it becomes an experience. It's a very different understanding from what the pure devotee is experiencing. And we see that here with Vitrasur. He's expressing his from his experience, he's giving it from an experience to a concept to Indra. And from that concept, he's verbally orienting it into words so that Vitrasur can hear it. And this is the ultimate mercy of the pure devotee. He is sharing his experiences with Krishna with us, even though we are not qualified to understand it or hear it. He's according to what time, place and circumstance. Just like Prabhupada, in the early years, he was describing to the devotees, what is the ananda, the bliss of the Brahman? What is it experience like? What is the bliss of Vaikuntha like? The devotees were asking Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, oh, it's like an ocean of LSD. Now, did you read anywhere in the Shastra that Brahmanand is an ocean of LSD? Have you read that anywhere? Have you ever heard any such a thing? It's nowhere in the scripture. But the pure devotee experienced that. Now, to give it in time, place and circumstance to somebody who can relate to it, he gives it as a concept, ananda, happiness, joy, and then he orients it in words. It is what they can understand. They know if you take this LSD drug, this is what it feels like. to experience that as an ocean, oh, wonderful. So they can relate to it. So this is the mercy of the pure devotee. Yes. So what he is doing, he's giving us an experience of from a material platform, from where we are, to experience the higher level. And this is described in the Shastra also. Atat Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavat Graitam Indriye Sevan Mukihi Jivado Swayam Eva Swaratyaja. That from the level of the blunt senses, how does the blunt senses experience Krishna? From that level, as one gets purified by rendering devotional service, then the senses become enlivened. They become spiritualized. And from that level, then one can experience Krishna. Otherwise, it's not difficult. It's very difficult, actually. So it's the pure devotee's intervention, constantly giving us Krishna in the dosages that we can relate to it from. So, okay, so we discussed that part. I'm going to move on a little bit. So in devotional service, we see this as a mechanism of how Krishna is relating and through the pure devotee. Bhakti, as described in the Vaishnav Siddhanta, is very different in its meaning, epistemology it's called, the word meaning, from any other tradition. If when you hear bhakti as a non-Vaishnava, what is it like? Oh, it's like, you know, crying for Krishna, very sentimental. It's a lot to do with from the heart kind of thing. But Prabhupada translated this in a very unique way. He translated bhakti as devotional service. Devotional service. That if you're going to show your love to God, to someone, you have to do it in the mood, in the firstly through the means of service. You have to serve first. So service is the means. So it starts first with service, then it becomes devotionalized, devotional service. And in the purest stage, it becomes pure devotional service. So three stages of the same concept, but the depth is phenomenal. So when we start, we're doing service. When we end, so to speak, we are doing service. But the consciousness has evolved from service to devotional service to pure devotional service. And this is what the pure devotee gives us. When I was, many years back, I lived in Mayapur from 2003-2004, during that period of time. And in Mayapur, there's a very special village there called Mamgachi. How many of you have heard of this? Yes, Saranga Thakur would know because the Samadhi of Saranga Thakur is there. Yeah? So this place was very, very, very impressional in my devotional service for one person. And I pray to Krishna that he's still there today. I hope he is. His name is Jagabandhu Prabhu. He's a Babaji that lives there. And if you go with the devotees from Mayapur, these trips that go there to this Mamgachi place. And he's completely bent over. He was very much like our Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. He was like that. But as soon as he sees the devotees, he becomes enlivened. Like I've never seen somebody so excited. Beyond any upadis, no discrimination. Just relating to people as Vaishnavas. And he would immediately start cooking. He would immediately start cooking. And in speaking to him, I learned that from that time, 2003, he's been serving there to this deity of Gopal for 70 years. 70. He was telling us stories of when he started to serve there at the age of about 10, there were still tigers coming there to that village at that time. How ancient, how remote that was. How long back. 70 years he's been serving Gopal. And up to now, I hope he's still there. It's been a long time since we went that way. But he created such an impression in my mind, in the way he served, in the way he cooked.
He would make simple prasad, khichdi, and he would make bengan bhaji, you know, famous Bengali item with mustard oil and salt, put it on the tawa, the bengan, and he would cook it, toast it, pakoras, very, very nice. And when we're just about to take prasad, now you know in act of devotion, right? It is said that when you're eating, you should not eat in front of the deities. You should not take prasad. So we're all sitting down, and personally, there was no chamach also, no spoon. He was using his hand. He would catch the chapati with his hand and scoop the sabji and put it on the plate. And it was, I've never seen anything like this before. He would use his hand. And then we told him, Maharajji, you know, the Thakurji is still open. The deities are open. How are we going to take prasad? He says, no, Gopal likes to see his devotees take prasad. And then he said, you think when the curtain is closed, he can't see? And I was like, wow, this was so impressionable to me. That to see service with that amount of love and affection. And I'm sure you all have your individual moments when you've also experienced some exalted devotee serving. We heard many, and we'll hear today also Kurma Rupa Prabhu is in the way he served. We hear the glories of Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, how he would take the devotee's hands and so delicately put Charanamrita. Such a simple thing, but the way he would do it makes you value what you have. It makes you value what you're receiving. Because materially, we take it for granted. Oh, I'll get Charanamrita tomorrow. I can get it any time. I can see the deities at any time. But when you meet devotees like this, then it sparks something in the heart. It revives something very special, that long lost selfless service to Krishna and his devotees. And that's what we want to rekindle. That's what we want to bring up from our lost remembrances of Krishna. And these pure devotees are able to revive that in us in a very deep way. So, this is the possible if an unalloyed devotee, Prabhupada says here. How does one receive this then? So practically now, we're given a lot of philosophy. Yes, we should do this, we should get this. How does one receive this? Prabhupada gives that also. He says here, this is possible if an unalloyed devotee delivers him in this way. Note that word deliver, Prabhupada puts there. It's not that he helps him. It's that, but more. It's not that he instructs him. He does that, but more. He delivers one. He is the one who is doing the delivering. So if we are able to serve under his guidance, if we are able to serve under him and serve him directly, like Prahlad Maharaj prays, how can I forget his service? These are very rare moments in one's life when one meets such a personality, when one meets such a person. And we can also meet them in sound. A Vaishnav lives in sound. So we have Prabhupada's Vani. We have Prabhupada's Vapu in his deity form also. So we can connect to him in that way. And especially us, the third and fourth generation of devotees, we are more fortunate than the previous generations. Why? Because we have all of Prabhupada's service available to us. And more. All of Prabhupada's service that he wants to offer to Krishna, he has given in instructions. Do this, do that, build so many temples here. I think he wanted 11 temples in Delhi. Yeah? Do preach here, preach in Africa, preach in America, preach in the Amazon jungle. So all of that mercy is available if we take those instructions to heart and try and do something. Be fearless. Don't be afraid of anything. Because when one is connected to that level, one is connected to that energy, then he is harnessing the power to do. That mercy comes through that service also. So right now we feel, oh, I'm just a little ant. What can I do? What can I offer? But even an ant can do some kind of service. The power of an ant is that a termite is about this size. It's an ant. But it can bring down a giant oak tree by its carefully eating at it. So even a little ant can do something. So if we feel connected, if we feel we can serve in this way, then let's try to do something. Let's try to revive the spirit. Our family business, Prabhupada called it. Preaching is our family business. So what does it mean to preach? Firstly, it means by example, the way you live your life and the way you carry yourself, what is valuable to you. That comes out in your conduct, in the way you carry yourself. And secondly, in trying to help others. In trying to help others. Prabhupada says here, this is possible if an unalloyed devotee delivers him in this way and thus tries to serve the Lord. So everybody is... this mercy is available to everyone. We see that even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, as we heard it yesterday also, Sriya Vaisya Tata Sudro Te Piyanti Param Gatim. No matter who you are, anybody can qualify. As long as he takes the instructions of the pure devotee to heart and tries to do something. And what are those instructions? Firstly, Man Mana Bhavamad Bhakto, become my devotee. Twice Krishna mentions this in Gita. Madhyaji Mam Namaskaro, offer obeisances. Mam Eva Sesi Satyam Te Pratijana Priyosime. You want to become priya to Krishna, dear to Krishna? Start with this way. Now start with it on different levels also. Firstly, become my devotee. How does one become that? By physical service, by changing one's mentality. Remember what we said at the beginning, one's mental attitude of the practitioner, changing that to a more devotional disposition. So much opportunity is there. So much of chance for cultivation, anusilanam. And this no other institution is offering. We have many temples, many places where there is darshan going on, where there are temples of Krishna. But who has received the spirit of preaching from Bhakti Siddhanta like Srila Prabhupada has? Who has done? Who has received that spirit of preaching? So if we are coming in that line, then we should also have imbibed that spirit. We should also feel an obligation to do something. No matter what it is, nobody is limited. You're only limited to your thoughts. Krishna is all powerful. He can do anything with anyone. Krishna can do anything with anyone. And at the end of one's life, like we heard today, the unalloyed devotee can deliver one. He can deliver one. Prabhupada's prayer in Maikana Bhagavad Dharma, he prays there that, my dear Lord Krishna, I know you must have some reason to bring me here to this place. If you didn't, why would you bring me here to this terrible place? And then he prays that in this way, I pray that you may deliver them. There's one line there that Krishna Prabhupada writes, I pray that you may deliver them. So if Prabhupada is asking to Krishna, please deliver them, do you think Krishna is going to say no? You think he's going to say no? Never. The pure devotee wants something. What does he want? He wants me to deliver these people. And by service, Prabhupada has created a wonderful opportunity for us to revive our eternal service with Krishna. By service that he has given, he's made us become indebted, become attracted to Krishna and earn Krishna's mercy in that way. So it's not only that we are doing the service to Krishna to please Prabhupada. That's one level. But Krishna is also relating to us now as the eternal jiva, as our constitutional position to him. And we seeing that with Vitrasul. At that moment, we heard yesterday, how Vitrasur got this blessing in a previous life as Chitraketu Maharaj. He got a wonderful association of Narada Muni and Angira. So when the pure devotee intercepts your life, it's not going to be the same again. It's going to change completely. It's going to become revolutionized. Completely change. And that change is going to make you somebody you don't even know yet. Somebody that you don't even think is possible yet. Anybody can earn the blessing and the mercy of Krishna by the interception of the pure devotee. So Prabhupada describes also the pure devotee as a mango. A green mango and a ripe mango. So the devotee, we're doing devotional service, it's a green mango. But as it ripens, it becomes that fragrant, yellow, reddish, beautiful, ripe mango. But in both stages, it's a mango. It's just time that develops it. So I remember reading recently this book, Swamiji, Brahmananda Prabhu's book. How many of you read it? Please read it. It's really powerful. And when the devotees were doing Sankirtan, before they got to go outside, they were all used to doing Kirtan in the temple, in what they've created as a temple. And all of a sudden, one day, Prabhupada says, okay, from today, we're going outside. And we're going outside on the street to sing? We never did that before. And they shaved up and they wore their robes for the first time and they were going outside. And it is described that the cars even stopped to see this beautiful sight. The dancing white elephants. The beautiful men from and women from Vaikuntha. When they saw this beautiful people dancing and singing Krishna's name on the road. So they did it to please Prabhupada. And by doing that, they created the birth of the Sankirtan movement in the West. It started Mahaprabhu's prediction that in every town and village, my holy name will be chanted. It started. It started from that point onwards. So, there's a very interesting point that comes up here. This demoniac consciousness. We see that Indra is speaking to Vitrasur and saying, well, you've changed your consciousness. It's no more demoniac. It's now liberated consciousness. You have surmounted the liberated stage. So if liberation, you have passed through the stage of liberation here, then what is the need for Jai and Vijay in Vaikuntha? We've finished everything here. We've done all the... We've purified ourselves here. Why do you need gatekeepers to check when we are entering Vaikuntha? To see the demoniac or to see who is not pure and not so pure. Why do we need that? Because anybody who's going to Vaikuntha has transcended like we heard today. So it's described then that not everybody who goes to Vaikuntha is a devotee. Oh, what does that mean? Well, we hear in Shastra that there are other personalities who are saintly, like Dhruvasa Muni, like Bhrigu Muni, like the four Kumaras, who go that way and visit, but they are not devotees. What is it that they don't have then? They don't have the Sambandha Gyan, the relationship with the Lord. And that again is what the Uttama Adhikari gives us. He gives us the opportunity to grow, to develop our relationship, Sambandha Gyan with Krishna. So when the four Kumaras went to Vaikuntha, when they got there, they were checked by Jai and Vijay. And what is it that changed their minds? What is it that changed their hearts? What was it? What did they smell? The tulsi. And who offers tulsi? The devotee. And which devotee offered tulsi to Narayan? Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi. She's the one who's doing Pada Sevanam. She's always serving the lotus feet of Narayan. So she is the one who is offering tulsi all the time. Due to her service, of rendering devotional service to Narayan, the four Kumaras, something happened differently in them when they smelt that devotional offering. And that is why, if you take it even one step further, that in their sampradaya, due to Lakshmi Devi's mercy, they come in the Sri Sampradaya. They come in the sampradaya where Lakshmi is giving the directions of how to serve Krishna, Narayan. So without the intervention of the devotee, one cannot get Krishna in that way. So we see even here, even in this situation, it's the devotee who intervenes and the devotee who gives the disposition of how to serve. Now, why does one need to serve in Vaikuntha? We know in Vaikuntha, what kind of trees are there? What kind of trees are there? Kalpavriksha trees. So in Kalpavriksha trees, anything short, anything you need, you just send a WhatsApp message. Please, I need this. Can you give it? So anything you need, you can just get from the Kalpavriksha trees. Then why do devotional service? Why you need to do devotional service? Just get it from any Kalpavriksha tree. Because devotional service attracts Krishna. One of the qualities of devotional service in Nectar of Devotion. It Krishna akarshana, Krishna gets attracted. So as much as there are Kalpavriksha trees in Vaikuntha, in all the spiritual planets, nobody uses them to get things to offer to Krishna. They do it themselves. Devotional service. Because anusinanam, by devotional service, one attracts Krishna's attention. And we'll end on the story. We know in Nandagram, every day, she's probably already started now, Srimati Radharani cooks for Krishna every day. Every day she cooks for Krishna. She has many stoves. I think it's like 64 different chulas, stoves. In Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it's described how she cooks for Krishna. And how hot it was yesterday. It was so hot, right? Today is a little cooler. But in yesterday's kind of weather, can you imagine cooking in open fire? Constantly. So Mother Yashoda observed this. And she's senior in the community. So she was chastising to Mother Kirtida, the mother of Radharani, that why are you letting Radharani in this heat cook like this? It's so hot. Why are you allowing her to do this? It's such a tapasya, so difficult. And it's described that she is withering like a flower. It's described like that. Kavi Karnapur is very poetic. Said she's withering like from a beautiful flower. She's withering with perspiration and heat, but she is still serving. Now, if you take any one of those preparations that she makes, can she get it from a Kalpavriksha tree? Yes. But why does she cook it herself? Because it is an opportunity for attracting Krishna's attention. So every opportunity we get for service, every opportunity we get for service, let's not let it go by. If you thinking about service, you will see a service opportunity. If you're not thinking about service, everything becomes laborsome. It becomes toil. It becomes difficult. It becomes a job. So we see the mood. And this is what distinguishes the service of the Brajbasis. It's so distinguished, technically it's called Rag Atmika Bhakti. The devotional service that only the Brajbasis offer to Krishna. That level of purity, that level of sweetness and attraction. It's classified in Gaudiya Siddhanta on its own. Because it's so refined and it's so pure that it attracts Krishna so deeply. So we're seeing this kind of thing as we're trying to understand the consciousness of the pure Vaishnava. And as we're developing, all of this is available to us by the mercy of the unalloyed devotee. By his mercy, we can get delivered from this world and reinstated in our constitutional position in the spiritual world eternally with Krishna. So thank you very much for being so patient. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanande.